Do you like short stories? The text that I'm going to read tonight is a short story. It is an entire story in just 5 verses. Hear the reading of this, we believe, is God's infallible, His inerrant word. 2 Samuel 23, beginning to read at verse 13. And 3 of the 30 chief men went down and came about harvest time to David at the cave of Adullam. When a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim, David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the 3 mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things the 3 mighty men did. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Please join me again in prayer. Father, speak to us by your word, and by your grace, bless us in the hearing of this your word. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ralph Davis says that one of the aspects of this text is that it is a stirring picture of loyal friendship. I think that he has it right. It's not only loyal friendship, but friends who are courageous and risk their very lives in this great expedition. I think this is a story that stirred David's heart, as we saw, and it stirs us as we hear the story. But I want you to remember that the Bible stories are not just stories about the events in the lives of men, but they're stories of God's actions in and through the lives of men. And so I hope that as we look at this story, we would see God at work, and we would listen to see how God might use this to speak to us and unfold His continuing story in our lives. We can start with the situation. I take this to be something that happened earlier in the life of David. It's reported at the end of his life, but this is in a summary section that talks about the mighty men of David, and it tells about things that these mighty men did all during the history of David, and I think this is an example of that. It refers to David being at the cave at Adullam. You can look in 1 Samuel 22 and see the reporting of events on one occasion when he was at the cave of Adullam, and it fits well with that, when he was on the run from King Saul. Even though he was no longer in the army of King Saul, the Philistines knew that David was the one who had defeated Goliath and led the Israelites into that victory. And then later on, remember, he led Saul's armies, at least some parts of Saul's armies, because the people said Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so he was an effective leader in the army, and so he was no friend to the Philistines. And here he is in this cave while the Philistines are at the garrison in Bethlehem. And so he says, this text says, longingly. He said, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink from the water at the well that is at the gate of Bethlehem. You get the idea. You know that Bethlehem was David's hometown, that he might have been thinking longingly of how that water tasted, maybe when he was a youngster. And he had some desire to recapture that experience as he was weary and on the run and not living at home in peace and blessing, but on the run for his life from Saul and also with the enemy of the Philistines. And for him to go into Bethlehem would be go right into the mouth of danger because the Philistines were garrisoned there. So he said, "Oh, I wish I had water from there," expressing his desire. But I don't think that he was actually telling his men to do this. I don't think he even expected them to do that. He was just expressing the longing of his heart without expecting anybody to act upon this. But that brings us to the second thing. After the situation, we have what I call three selfless heroes. We're told that three of the 30 chief men went down to David at that time. Who are these men? Actually, there's some difference of opinion here. Some would say they are the three mighty men that are introduced at the first of the chapter. Other would say, oh no, they're part of the 30. They're not those three, they're part of the 30. But because they're called the mighty men, and because their service, and these three are called the mighty men, and there are three of them, and because their story comes right after the three mighty men are introduced, I'm prone to think that they are the three mighty men, and this is just one more of their exploits. You can read in the first part of the chapter the heroic deeds they did. This is a different kind of heroic deed, but at any rate, three men, I think the three mighty men of David, go down, and then we are told what they did. Now the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David. Now that's just a verse, a very short thing, but it is filled with meaning. Remember, this was an enemy garrison of Philistines. And notice the words that are used. They did not slip into the camp and secretly get some water and take it back. No, it said that they broke into the camp. They broke through the camp of the Philistines. And I think that that is significant, particularly as we look at the word that is used. That word is used a number of times in the Old Testament, but not just generally for all kinds of things. For example, it's the word that's used for God dividing the Red Sea. That was pretty big, pretty significant. That wasn't just kind of a secret mission there. It's used of cleaving wood. Now, I don't know how you cut wood, but I don't do any more of it than I have to. But when I do it, I like to whack that thing. That's the only way I can get it to split. I don't sneak up on it and just kind of ease it open. I whack it. That's the only way I can cleave it. As a matter of fact, this is the same word that's also used elsewhere. It talks about enemy armies and their actions that are so violent that they're characterized as not only defeating the people of God, but going in and ripping open pregnant women. Now that's the word that's used here. So I would say from just the word that's used, cleaving, ripping, tearing apart, here's the picture that I get. That's what they did going through, notice, going through the camp of the Philistines. They didn't slip in. They broke through, they crashed through, they smashed through, they got the water, and they fought their way back out. Because they were the mighty men, and they can do it. Think of some movie that stirs you like that. Maybe you can think of one of the old movies of the Alamo and Davy Crockett and his men. They broke through the forces of Santa Anna to go in and provide some reinforcements to the people who were defending the Alamo. Or if that's too far removed for some of the younger people here, think of some action picture where some special forces guys, a small number, break through to free some people held in prison somewhere. They break through, they fight their way through with guns, with hands, with whatever. They break through fighting superior forces all around them, and they free the people and then they take them out. Or they get the secret disc that's hidden somewhere. They go in and they get it and they fight their way out, and it's just against all odds. That's the picture I believe that we have here. As they broke through the enemy garrison, they went right into the headquarters of this outpost of the Philistines. Now, I believe that that's implied because they're the three mighty men, because of the word that's used, but also because of what we're going to see in the third point, the stirring sacrifice recognized. What was David's response to this? He recognized what they had done, and he appreciated it. He was amazed by it. He would not drink the water. We say, well, wait a minute, that's what this whole thing was about. He wanted the water, so they got him the water, and they brought it, and then he said, I can't drink this. Why? Because he realized that they risked their lives. David would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, far be it from me that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. David was saying, this was more than just a drink of water. This symbolized the men risking their very lives. It was like their life's blood that was put on the line for him. And so instead of him just drinking it to quench his thirst, he pours it out as an offering to God. He said it's that kind of action. And so I put it before God. He's saying devotion like that was so remarkable that the most appropriate thing was to give it to God. Now, I've gone through these first three points in, at least for me, a relatively quick fashion. Because it's short, and because I want to get to this last point, salvation fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You see, after we've told the story, what do we do with the story? Why was it in here for the people of God and for us? And I should admit here that, I should say in the first place that all of my explanation goes along with the writing and preaching of Dr. Ralph Davis, a former Old Testament professor here at RTS, and Dr. Currid, also an Old Testament professor and a former member and on staff at this church. All of the explanation that I've given goes along with exactly what they've written and taught. But here I'm going to be so bold as to make the point of application and fulfillment a little different from Dr. Currid when he preached. He puts David as the focal point, and since David is the forebearer of Christ, we look at David at the focal point and Christ is the fulfillment. And that's a normal way that we do that in these texts of David, that David is the type ultimately of Christ. But, hear me out, David is not always the type of Christ. David did some things that weren't so good, right? You know those stories, David and Bathsheba, David and Uriah, like that. He wasn't a type of Christ at that point. He's not always a type of Christ. Now, here he's not doing anything bad. I'm not suggesting that. But I don't believe that he is really the focal point of the type of Christ. And here's the one little place where I differ from Dr. Curry. I believe that the three mighty men are the focal point in this story. And because of their association with David, they are the type of Christ. Because it was the three mighty men who broke through the enemy lines, defeated the enemy. It was the three mighty men who risked their very lives. It was the three mighty men that brought back water for David to drink. And I would say that that is a beautiful picture for the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ went into enemy territory, broke through the enemy lines, defeated the enemy, sin and Satan and death and everything that goes along with that. Jesus did that. He went into the mouth of the enemy. Jesus not only risked his life, but he gave his life. He poured out his blood for our salvation. And Jesus Christ brings us water, living water, for our good. Now you might say, well, you know, I can see that generally, but maybe you're going a little too far with making those applications. Let me just take one of those themes, that idea of water, and remind you how that's connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again. Do you remember the story of Moses and the rock? The people were thirsty, and Moses was commanded by God to strike the rock, and water came out of the rock so that the people would have something to drink. Do you remember that Paul refers to that, of God giving them food and water in the wilderness? He refers to that in his letter to the Corinthians, and he says, that rock from whence came the water to keep them alive, that rock was Christ. He makes that connection, that Christ is the fulfillment of that. They got water, but Christ is the one who ultimately gives us water. Or we could go to Isaiah and his prophecy of streams in the desert. Or we could go to Ezekiel and his vision of water that comes up at the temple and flows east out of the temple and through the eastern gate, the beautiful gate, and that water deepens and deepens and deepens. Some, it starts out at just a little bit, and then it comes out, it's ankle deep, it's knee deep, it's waist deep, it's just getting more and more and more. There's the fullness, there's an abundance of this water one day that God is going to give. And think about the way Jesus talked about water. He told the woman at the well that he would give her living water so that she would never be thirsty again. Or think about how Jesus spoke in John 7. He says, I'll give you rivers of water that flow from within you, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Or think about the book of Revelation and the river of life that goes through the middle of it. All of that is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that is not unrelated to Jesus giving his very life to defeat all of the enemies of our soul. We need spiritual life that continues through all of life. Without Christ, we will have spiritual dryness. It seems to me that we need exactly what is happening here. We need what only Christ can do for us. Well, what is this story? What does this story do for us? Well, let me suggest several things. It's a stirring story. And so let me ask you, do you ever need to be spiritually stirred? Not asking you if you need more information. We probably need some of that too. But for many of you, you've been in the church long enough that you've got plenty of information, but you need to be soul stirred. Do any of you sometimes need to be motivated to do what you already know is right, but motivated and energized? Do any of you need something that will help you keep focus on God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ rather than a legalistic performance sort of outlook? You see, this does that. What did David, what happened when they brought this water to him? He offered it to God. He was, I think, amazed and overwhelmed at what had been done for him. He was stirred in his soul and he was grateful to God. Let me ask you, have you looked at Christ in a way that stirred your soul and makes you grateful for everything that God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to conclude with just kind of unpacking that a little bit, because it's so easy to say, okay, yes, yes, we should be thankful to God for everything that He's done, for all of His grace in our lives. We all know that. We all say that. We all aspire to that. But I want to come back and just underline one word. For everything. Not just that Jesus died on His cross. That's the central thing. Not just that Jesus gave you new life, but that He's giving you living water every day of your life. Everything that delights you and satisfies you and stirs you. Every good thing is God's grace. What is it? What are some of the little things? I think sometimes we see the big things and we forget the fullness of this. Are some of you creative? Do you like to build things or make things or put things together? Do you know that creativity is a gift from God? Anybody like to cook? That's a strange thing. In my old age, I've kind of gotten interested in cooking. My daughter Melanie is taking me to Viking cooking school, and you know, I'm getting recipes from this person. I'm not a very good cook, but it's of interest to me like that. Do you like to cook? Let me tell you about someone who has a great feast planned. A feast like no other feast that the world has ever seen. A banquet. And it's for you. That's God. And if you enjoy preparing, feasting, fellowshipping together, that's just a little reflection of God's grace and God's gift for you. There's so many things in this world. Do you have eyes to see beauty? A beautiful picture, a beautiful sunset, the beauty in a little child's face. God is the designer of everything that's beautiful. And God allows you to recognize that beauty and rejoice in that beauty. Am I the only one who likes to laugh? I know that isn't true. I know a lot of you like to laugh. Some of you actually like to laugh at me sometimes when I get... That's all right. I do too. You know what? That's a delight and a pleasure that I believe is from God. You know, there are things in the world that... They're just funny. I'm sorry. They're just funny. And I think God knows that. If you can enjoy life, If you can have delight and pleasure in life, if you can enjoy doing things, I mean, do you still like to do, when I have a good time, I don't mean having a good time, but I mean a good time in minutes and seconds in riding my recumbent bike. That's, for those of you who are not familiar with that, that's the only way you can ride a bike and be pretty close to be sitting in a recliner chair. That's what I do. But when I have a good times in doing that distance there, that gives me pleasure. Now, I'm not world class. I'm at the back of the pack. But that's all right. It still gives me pleasure. It's God who allows you to do anything good in your life, whether it's creative or cooking or music or appreciating beauty or just the joy of fellowship with family and friends and loved ones. Everything good is by God's grace. As we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us, I think it reminds us of the bigness, the greatness, the abundance of that living water that refreshes us at every point in our lives. God is good. God is so good. So loving and so gracious. And as we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're reminded of that over and over and over again. And we ought to be stirred with love for Jesus and gratitude to our Heavenly Father. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that Jesus gave His very life for us, and that because of Jesus Christ, we have rivers of life flowing within us. Help us to see the abundance of Your grace in our lives through Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Would you stand and receive God's blessing? Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.